Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever needed a substitute? I've needed one a couple of times since I've been teaching religion at St. John, someone to come in and cover a class for me, most of the time Pastor Grimm, some of the time one of the other teachers. But I remember when I was younger, I loved playing sports, baseball and soccer mostly. I played basketball for a couple of years, but I was hilariously inept at that. But for baseball especially, though, I was always one of the substitutes, so I guess I wasn't much better at that. I could play the field just fine, but I wasn't exactly the most confident batter, to say the least. I think I swung the bat 5 times in 4 years. There's a reason that I was a substitute for that. For most games, when one of the other players was tired, the coach would send me in as a substitute, and for some reason, he never wanted me to go up to bat more than once. Soccer, I remember it being the other way around. I played a little more regularly there until, as it happened, I got tired and the coach would send in another player to take my place because I just couldn't do it anymore. This concept of the substitute plays a crucial role in our Old Testament reading today from Genesis chapter 22, which is when God appears to Abraham. This happens, obviously, sometime after Isaac's birth. We're not really told when chapter 22 happens, but one of the prevailing ideas is that this happened when Isaac was close to 40 years old, because this is the last thing that is recorded before Sarah's death, which happens when Isaac is 40. And so Isaac is probably, possibly older than I am when this happens. He is the child of the promise, which is something that God reiterates in verse 2 when he says, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah." Okay, and do what on this father-son outing? "And sacrifice, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." A what? Isaac is the child of the promise. He is the only son of Abraham and Sarah, leaving Ishmael and all of that aside for now. He is the one about whom God had told Abraham before Isaac was even born, that it would be through Isaac that Abraham's children would be counted. It would be, even more fundamentally, God had stated that the line of the Messiah would come through Isaac. He says, "Through your offspring, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And which offspring is this? The only offspring that God ever promises to Abraham is Isaac. It is through Isaac that the line of the Messiah is to come. And then God tells him to take his son on a father-son outing to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. I imagine that was a bit of a shock, shall we say, for Abraham. A rather strange request. Now, human sacrifice was not unheard of in this time and place, unfortunately. However, God himself had never commanded or required human sacrifice. God, in fact, despised the practice. God had never asked Abraham to sacrifice a human being before, or for that matter, asked anyone else to offer a human sacrifice. And so, imagine what Abraham must have thought on hearing that he was to sacrifice not just the promised son, but his son? Did he think for a minute there that God's promise was not going to come true in the end? Now, when we look ahead in verse 5, when they reach the mountain, Abraham tells the young men, his servants, to stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. He doesn't say, I'll come again. He suggests that we'll come again. So that seems to indicate that he believed God would work some kind of miracle here. Hebrews chapter 11, the writer explains this, or explicates this, as by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. So Abraham had faith here, and he brings Isaac up to the mountain along with the wood and the fire. I can only imagine what Isaac must have been thinking on this trip, especially when they leave the servants and the animals behind and walk up the mountain alone with the wood, the fire, the knife, the... When Isaac asked what was happening, his father said, "The Lord will provide, my son." There's a comic strip I love that I saw on Facebook where Abraham answers, "The Lord will provide Isaac." And Isaac responds, "Wait, did you say the Lord will provide Isaac or the Lord will provide Isaac? I ain't budging till you put in a comma." However, Isaac, when they get there, they build the altar, they lay the wood in order, and Isaac was willing to accept his fate. They put the wood there on the altar, his father bound him, laid him over the wood, not an easy task for a 140-year-old man. And especially if the 40-year-old man had wanted to contest the issue. And so, presumably, Isaac was willing to go through with this, whatever this happened to be. Abraham held the knife over his son, and that was when God intervened. The voice of God speaks again, "Abraham, Abraham." It says in verse 11, "the angel of the Lord," which is one of the names that the Old Testament often uses for the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, the Word of God, when God speaks or makes himself visible, reveals himself to people. The angel of the Lord, you might say the pre-incarnate Jesus, speaks to him, "Abraham, Abraham, do not by any means lay your hand on this child, on your son." Abraham had passed the test. Abraham had not withheld his most precious possession, his son. Instead of sacrificing his son, Abraham turns around and finds a ram with its horns caught in the thicket. And so he offers that as a substitute to take Isaac's place on the altar. Now, some would read Genesis chapter 22 and apply it to us as a God is calling you to give up your most precious possession for him. So if you have a child, you better go out and offer it as a sacrifice because hopefully God will provide a ram. Let's not do that. If God hasn't actually spoken to you and actually commanded you to give up your most precious possession for him, that reading is missing the point of Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. We are not in the place of Abraham in this reading. God is. There was another son whom God commanded to be sacrificed, his own son. This was ultimately the point of this story, or the point of Abraham being commanded to sacrifice Isaac, was as a prefiguring of Christ's sacrifice. And that was ultimately the reason that Jesus had to come, was to be that sacrifice. God took his son, his only son, Jesus, whom he loves, and sent him to Mount Moriah. Yet, no, I did not misspeak there. In 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1, it explains that Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. And so, Jerusalem is the Mount Moriah, or is just outside of the Mount Moriah, where Abraham sacrificed his son. In other words, lest anyone miss it, God sent Abraham to the same place to make this sacrifice as where he himself would sacrifice his own son, Jesus, in about 2,000 years. God commanded that his son should be killed, should be sacrificed on the wood of the cross. The father was required with his own hand to slay his beloved son. It wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. It wasn't the Roman soldiers who killed Jesus. It wasn't even our sins that killed Jesus. All of those played a part. The Jews handed Jesus over to the Romans, who killed him as a sacrifice for our sins, but it was God who carried it out. In John 10, verse 18, Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." The Father commanded Jesus' death. And the Father did not raise a hand to spare him. Abraham's son was spared. God's son was sacrificed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying before this took place, I wonder if Jesus thought about Isaac, how Isaac was willingly bound and laid on the wood as a sacrifice. When Jesus prayed, did he hope that his father would see his willingness to give up his own life, that the intent would be enough as it had been for Abraham? After all, he prayed, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me." Did he look for a ram that could be sacrificed in his place? And yet there was no answer. His father did not raise a hand to spare him this fate. Even as he prayed, Jesus knew that there was to be no substitute. "Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." The Lord would not provide a different sacrifice. He would not make a substitution for Jesus. But the amazing thing is that at this sacrifice, there was a substitute. God did provide a substitute on Mount Moriah this second time, but that substitute did not take Jesus' place. Jesus himself was the lamb of sacrifice. Jesus himself was the substitute. Jesus took your place on the cross. On the Mount of the Lord did provide his own son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, to take your place, to be sacrificed on your behalf. So what does a substitute do? A substitute takes the place of someone who is unable to do something. When a teacher is sick or unavailable, they need a substitute to take their place. When a football player is injured, he needs a substitute to take his place on the field. What Isaac needed on Mount Moriah was a substitute to take his place on the altar under the knife. That is what the ram did. And what you needed because of your sins is a substitute to take your place, to willingly accept the fate that should have been yours because of your sin. And that is what Jesus did. What incredible love God has for you. What incredible obedience Jesus shows in willingly taking our place, becoming our substitute. On the mountain of the Lord, he truly did provide. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.